We're constantly interacting with others, whether in person, over the phone, or online, and most of those contacts go pretty well, but sometimes they don't. There are folks out there who are looking to take advantage of us. Larry Mueller here. It's important that we talk about the situations we, you know, that come, that we encounter, so that other people can avoid them, and so that consumer advocates know what's happening around the state. And lucky to have a couple of great people working on consumer issues that are with me in the studio today, and they come by every so often to talk about what's going on in the way of scams. Sandy Chalmers is administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. Thanks for coming by, Sandy. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Larry. Nice to be here.
And Michelle Reinen. Thank you so much. Michelle directs the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Always great to have you here as well.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
So what are we hearing? What scams have been getting most reports lately from your point of view?
Well, I don't think this will be a surprise to anybody, but we are awash in fraud, and scams are everywhere. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, but a lot of this is because of overseas criminals. Some are actual, you know, organized crime rings, and they take every opportunity to look for victims and potentially prey on us. And they, you know, they work on you through your email and the internet, social media, telephone calls. So we put together a list of the things that we're hearing about this week and a little bit of last week's. First of all, this babysitting scam.
Babysitting
scam.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
This is a variation on an old scam involving fake checks, but now it's targeting babysitters. And what happens is that you'll respond to an ad on Craigslist or eBay, some online classified website, and the buyer will make up a really good reason, some compelling reason, that they need to send you a check for more than the agreed upon price, and then they'll ask you to wire or send a check for the balance back. And of course, what happens is that it's a fake check. Quite often, the quality of the printing job, the counterfeiting job, is so good that the bank teller can't even tell that it's a fake. And so you are out under federal law. You're liable for making good the value of that fake check to the bank. So what we recommend is that you be very, very careful and cautious when you're dealing with somebody you don't know.
You should never respond. If somebody, I wouldn't think, if somebody says, I'm sending you a check for $10,000, but send me $3,000 back, that, you know, right away would be automatically.
And that is the red flag right there. But these scams are everywhere, and apparently there are enough victims that it's worthwhile for the crooks. And remember that a lot of this originates from Nigeria, Ghana, and elsewhere.
Where we have
overseas.
No control.
Right. It's extremely difficult to track down these kinds of criminals.
Michelle Reinen and Sandy Chalmers, our guests today from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking consumer issues with them, some of the current scams to watch out for. I haven't given the number yet, so let me do that right now. If you'd like to join in, you can reach us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Steve in Milwaukee has a question for you. Let's go there. Steve, hi.
Well, happy Monday, folks.
To you as well.
I am wondering what I should do, if anything, about a situation in which I got some protein powder from across state, from out of state, I should say, that was tainted with some red chunks in it. I didn't realize it till I was halfway through the bag. And so I called the people who sent it to me. I've been working with them for several years now. And I asked them, I told them about what it was, and they said, well, we'll send a courier to help pick up the bags. courier didn't come for a few days, and then we had to leave the building, so I left the bags out, and they disappeared. I assume the courier picked them up. However, I did keep a sample of the chunks that were in there, and now he didn't get the bags, and so I just got that sampling. I didn't have any ill effects, but I'm wondering about possible long-term effects. I don't know what that chemical or whatever it was. To me, it looked like somebody cut their finger and a little blood had gotten in there or something. So I'm wondering what I should do from here, whether you suggest anything.
Well, Michelle Rennan, what about it?
Yeah, well, what I would do, Steve, is contact the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration at the federal level, to see, give them a call and see what they have to say about it. Because of the type of substance it is and that you bought it over a different state line, I think that's going to be your best resource and avenue. I don't happen to have that phone number, but usually it's in the front of phone books, or you could just Google the Food and Drug Administration, FDA.gov, and come up with a phone number or email site.
There you go.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Dennis and Toma, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning to you all.
Morning.
Recently, I used the internet to pay for my car license. And I thought I had gone through all of the prompts, and then another prompt came up asking for my address, my name, and my social security number, and so forth. And like a idiot, I filled that all in, you know, and then, you know, got out of the site itself. And then it was like about 3 or 4 days later, I received a call from American Airlines asking if I had purchased 3 tickets to fly from New York to someplace out west, which I said no. And I immediately called up my credit card company and told them, and, you know, I changed my credit card number. My question is it a standard question for the DMV here in Wisconsin to ask for your Social Security number?
I'm not sure about that. Michelle, do you know?
I don't. I am not 100%. I don't believe it is, because when you get your flyer back, it doesn't include any of that information with it. But I cannot be 100% certain on that. We would have to call the DMV to find out from them.
Just in case, you may want to pull your credit report by going to annualcreditreport.com and seeing whether somebody has opened a new credit card account in your name. That's the most common kind of identity theft we have seen in the last year or so. And, you know, these crooks take every advantage of technology they can, and that's the most common way they generate their lead lists, is by getting people to enter information, you know, sign up for a sweepstakes or information on a low-cost loan. But I wonder whether that was some kind of look-alike website that you entered your information into.
Sounds like it could have been, or somehow it was connected to the actual site somehow, if you didn't, something that would follow up the site. I imagine there's ways that they could probably do that. And caller Paul just renewed his license online this morning, Judith's letting us know, and they did not ask for a Social Security number, so he just renewed.
So something else you may want to do is run a virus sweep to make sure that your computer hasn't been infected, because quite often, you know, when you click on one of those pop-ups, some kind of malicious software will be downloaded onto your PC.
So you've got that, and also getting your credit rating. Because they would, you know, typically, isn't it true that they try to act really quick
right,
and establish, get things going before people have a chance to sort of respond?
Right. They want to jump on the information they have right away before you realize it's missing.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, I have another question, too. This is about a month ago, and you would think that I would have received some kind of a charge card account number or something like that. Is that the normal, or do I not receive some data like that?
If somebody else opened a credit card statement in your name, they probably changed the address too.
Okay.
So it's very possible that you wouldn't get a statement. So go to annualcreditreport.com and take a look at your credit rating and see if you see any accounts that you don't recognize or didn't authorize.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. And you know what? I'd do it right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wait around.
Right.
I'd do it right away. Thanks, Dennis, for calling. You can join in, too, with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@WPR.org. I'd love to hear from you. There were some other scams out there. Was there one relating to yard sales? Something out there, Michelle?
Well, yard sales isn't necessarily a scam. It's that time of year when people are out there holding their garage sales, and we need consumers to just be on the alert and lookout for recalled products that can be dangerous or hazardous to people. So a lot of individuals use yard sales to get nursery equipment, children's equipment, and you want to make sure that you're not buying things that have been recalled that could put your child at risk.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are websites, there are applications that you can download to your phone so you can look at an item and see if it's recalled on site. Otherwise, if you know you're going for something specific like a crib, you can look ahead of time for all the recalled cribs that are out there and take a list with you. Or the other option is, be willing, you know, just don't spend more than you're willing to have to throw away when you bring it home, because you should really check to see if the product's been recalled. There have been numerous recalls on a number of children's products in the last years, and standards have really been changing on those because of changes in the federal laws. So, it's not as easy as taking a soda can with you to see if the slats on the crib are too wide anymore. You need to make sure that the framing is right, the type of screw that's used, the cutouts and the mattress support, and does the side rail move and things. And that's just a crib. And in a nursery, you need so many other things. So the mobile app is a wonderful tool that you can just load on your smartphone and check things out. And people who are holding garage sales, it's a great thing to check it out ahead of time and not sell it, because you can often get replacement product through the recall or money back if you take the product back.
Okay. So
just be on the lookout for that. You don't want to hand off a hazardous item.
Sandy in Kewaunee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Recently, my checking account was compromised with an unauthorized withdrawal, and it's a company that was named World Class, and this happened to also like 60 other accounts at the same institution and where I bank, and they feel that it's related back to a hard copy check that I would have mailed in perhaps to like a local business, that their database was compromised somehow where they got my account number. And I'm just wondering, how would I be able to inform whoever that check was made out to that perhaps, you know, their database has been compromised?
I believe this is something that we heard about late last week, if we're talking about the same case, Michelle. We have been notified this. I wonder if you would call the hotline number 1-800-422-7128 and ask for Michelle Reinen, and she will take down your information. This may be an investigation that we just have underway.
Started.
So it's difficult to say a lot about it so early. But certainly, if you haven't done so already, if you ever have any questions about whether your checking account has been compromised, let the bank know first, because your checking account can be drained in seconds by a crook. And then alert the credit reporting companies that you believe that you may have been victimized by an identity thief. We do have people in our Office of Privacy Protection who are trained to walk victims of identity theft through the process of alerting the companies that need to be alerted and to help them restore their credit. And you can contact those people by calling our hotline, again, 1-800-422-7128. 7128 and ask for a specialist in the Privacy Protection Office.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate thanks a lot for calling. Wow. 60.
Unfortunately, this is happening more and more, and identity theft keeps working its way up that top 10 list of consumer complaints here at the state level. And, you know, nationally, it's one of the fastest growing areas of crime. So, you know, you really have to be on your guard and think about what you can do to protect yourself.
Joe in Michigan, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm an IT manager, so I keep a mail server wide open just to see what's going on. I mean, I get hundreds of emails a day. But anyways, just for the one guy that called in with the DOV, with his tags, he should probably call the motor vehicle department, because he probably didn't order his tags at all. He was probably at another site. Because it's pretty hard to link up to, you know, the DMV site without them knowing that. The other thing, if you're, like, using Outlook or something like that, and probably most products, you can mouse over the link, and it'll show you what the real link is. And another way you can do is if you just don't open the email, but if you click on it so it's highlighted, and in Outlook, you can go to View and then go to Options, and it'll show you where that mail really came from. And, you know, you can see what mail server it really was delivered from. And if it's not from, you know, the DMV or, you know, the IRS, you know, because the IRS doesn't send emails anyways. But, you know, things like that, you can, you know, protect yourself quite a bit that way. But there's, you know, they send out, I mean, I keep a mail server wide open just to see what's going on for my customers. And, you know, I literally hundreds and close to 1,000 a day come in, and they're trying anything they can to get through. And trust me, if somebody opens one of these mails and follows one of those links, you're going to get it, you know, and you're going to get it bad.
Yeah, those are all excellent tips. And one of the things that we've heard about, again, fairly recently, is crooks who will look for the name of a local bank, not a Chase Bank or J.P. Morgan, but a local credit union, a small-town credit union,
sure.
And then will blast emails to that area saying, you know, we're from your local credit union, there's a problem with your account.
Right.
So this, I mean, they're able to micro-target now.
And they look just like the emails from your bank. So.
Right. Yeah. And we've had problems with lookalike websites in the past. For instance, after a natural disaster, fake Red Cross or Salvation Army websites will pop up. So it's really something to look out for.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Yeah.
Don't trust anything that comes by email. Call your bank or call whatever, the DMV yourself. You know, take the time and protect yourself.
Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Very excellent tips there. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan have some great advice for you. They are with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, talking consumer issues with them. Shirley in Madison is online with a question. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is somewhat unrelated to the other calls, but I had taken my car to a car dealership to have some repairs made, relatively major ones, and as an afterthought, I said, oh, could I have it detailed? I've never had my car detailed before, but I tend to be sort of a slob, and so I said, let's get all those things out. Well, there was a major stain that I have no recollection of having seen before now in the car. And I went back today, and he said, oh, we talked about that. Don't you remember? I said, I don't know if I can get that stain out or not. And I have no recollection of having heard this from him, but I see no way that I can fight this now.
Well, what do you think, Michelle?
Well, you can always file a complaint with our agency. We ask consumers to try and negotiate or deal with the business and see what kind of response they get. Once you reach a certain stage and that becomes hopeless, then that's when we come in to try and mediate and look at the laws. And there is a law about auto repair, and it does say that if you do authorization by phone, there should be a documentation about that. Otherwise, you should have, if repairs are going to be more than a certain dollar value, that should be documented. And in this case, you did authorize the extra service, but if there's an additional discussion or something, it doesn't hurt, you know, for us to write a letter to the business and see what they have to say. And sometimes that may result in a discount or maybe some added work or something or nothing. So you don't have a lot to lose by filing that complaint with us.
And to do that, just go to 1-800-422-7128.
That's right. And they can ask for a complaint form from the person who answers the phone, or you can go to our website and get a complaint there. And that is datcp.wisconsin.gov. And you'll see where you can file a complaint that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot for calling. And we have a link on my Facebook page, by the way, right to that page. So if you didn't get it down, just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and there it'll be. Abby in La Crosse. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you for the timely discussion. I have recently become a victim of identity theft. I received a letter from the Internal Revenue Service stating that they had some questions about the numbers that I had submitted on my 2013 return. I called the IRS immediately and notified them that I have not filed my taxes yet. And they kind of casually transferred me to the Identity Theft Unit, saying that I would be educated on my situation. And I'm wondering how prevalent this is and how this is happening. I'm now going to be forced to, I can no longer file electronically. I have to go through all sorts of identity proving situations in order to be able to file my taxes. And it will be a minimum of 6 months before I receive my return after filing. So could the ladies comment on this?
Unfortunately, the number of identity theft cases related to tax filing has absolutely skyrocketed, and the IRS is buried under hundreds of thousands of these cases.
Wow.
Which, of course, it delays your tax return, but it also creates who knows how many problems due to the identity theft factor. Identity theft can happen a number of ways, and the tips that we always give are things like shredding your personal documents that have personally identifiable information on them, making sure you know where you are when you're online, avoiding posting personal information that could be useful to an identity thief on social media. And avoiding responding to email or telephone requests for personal identification. So I don't know at this point whether the IRS will be able to tell you exactly how you became victimized. But, you may want to give our privacy protection specialist a call at the department for information on how to protect yourself further. And those basic tips are placing a freeze on your credit report, alerting your bank and credit card companies that you may be a victim of identity theft, and giving your computer a good cleansing from viruses.
Mm-hmm. And there was, and thanks, Abby, for calling. Appreciate it. John and Kimberly emailed us and said, just a heads up, several years ago, I went to use a credit card I hadn't used for a while, only to find out it was maxed out. It turns out the renewal notice was intercepted before it got to me, and the person who intercepted it filled it out with a change of address. So I never got the bills. The card company did not bill me for the charges, but it was certainly an eye-opener. Now I check my card online regularly.
Yeah, that's another very common way of identity theft. They divert your information to a different address. It helps sometimes in solving the crime, but you become unaware for an extended period of time that there's these charges against your name and credit line. So that's where Sandy's been mentioning checking your credit report becomes very significant, and you have the right to one free credit report per agency a year. So we recommend staging that out so you're actually doing it three times a year, once each 4 months from one of each of the credit reporting agencies. So that way you can be monitoring things regularly and, you know, keeping a list of what extensions of credit cards you have, the type of bills you should be getting, and checking off that you are getting them regularly or that you are at least checking up on them regularly if you aren't using that credit card, just to make sure someone else isn't using it.
Hmm. And B in Wausau, we are on to you. Hi, B. Thank you for calling. B, are you there? I guess we lost B. Let's go to Tom in Washburn. Hi, Tom.
Hi, this is Fortuitous. I was just driving back from town, and I was thinking about a situation I've been having here for a couple of weeks, and I was thinking of contacting the ladies at the agency, the Wisconsin Department of Ag. My situation is, you know, over the last couple of weeks, usually daily or every other day, I get a call, and I never answer it. It's a Minnesota number. It's 651-346-3369. And they say, if this is, they state my name, contact our agent. I have no idea what this is about, but I don't want to contact them because that would, I would think, mean that I'm potentially soliciting their business, which I'm not. Hmm. As far as I know, we're on do not call. I think we are still. Do you have to, I asked another question, do you have to re-up with that every year, or how does that work?
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, in Wisconsin, our state law requires consumers to sign up every 2 years to remain on the list, and that's our law. The call looks like it's coming from Minnesota, but in reality, it's probably coming from Russia or India or somewhere else around the world. And that's one of the reasons that these fraudulent calls are so difficult to track down, is that the fraudulent telemarketers can manipulate the caller ID information to hide their identity. So remember, you can't always trust your caller ID because they can manipulate the caller ID to make it look like the call is coming from your bank or someone else you've done business with. Sometimes the telephone number can be masked to show unknown or just left blank or private. We heard from one lady who said that the caller ID showed up as the name of her local humane society. So, you know, it's really something to, again, be on guard about.
Well, how do you how do I stop these calls from coming? It's getting to be kind of annoying. I mean, it's just about every day now, it seems like. And that's nobody. There'd be no reason for me to contact anybody.
The best thing you can do is to file a complaint with us, and we'll track it down. And we receive thousands of complaints about violations of a state no call every year, and probably send 500 or so cease and desist letters to companies who are usually outside our state borders and who say they are unaware of our state no-call law. But we let them know, hey, this is our law, and you please stop calling our residents of our state.
Mm-hmm. How do I file a complaint? Is there a way to do that online or what?
Yeah, you can go to our website at datcp.wisconsin.gov, and there's a complaint form you can print off and send in, or you can call our hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
7128.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great. Thanks a lot for calling, Tom.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Pete in La Crosse emailed us, and he said, one more tip to prevent email scams. If the sender doesn't address you by name, they are almost probably a scam. Any company that's legitimate would probably know your name and address, or at least know you by name. So that's something to think about. Then we had Elaine in Westmont, Illinois. She said, I recently lost my wallet with all my credit cards, Social Security card, license, and green card, and I feared the worst. I later found my wallet, but the experience taught me a couple things. Don't keep your Social Security card in your wallet. I now have mine in a safe deposit box at the bank. Get identity theft insurance. My insurance company offers identity theft insurance for $25 a year. If you have to go through the process of fighting to get your identity back, they will cover a good chunk of the cost. After a deductible, of course. Bit of peace of mind during an already stressful time. So what do you think, Sandy?
Those are good tips. And there are advertisements on TV and radio constantly now about identity theft protection and different levels of insurance. And, you know, we are state employees and we don't endorse any business. But you know, it's something that you need to decide whether it's worth for that, worth it for your own peace of mind.
And Tom emailed, I have tried to obtain free annual credit reports from annualcreditreport.com via email, but found this impossible. Was able to get paper copy via regular mail from two of the agency, but not Experian. Is it possible to get credit reports instantly via computer?
Larry, do you remember hearing on the news not too long ago that several celebrities' credit reports and personal information had been hacked into and posted online? I think Lady Gaga and, you know.
Yeah.
That probably is the reason why this person had a difficult time getting the information from Experian, because they're all three credit reporting companies are reviewing their internal procedures to kind of tighten the controls after that hacker broke in.
Renee in Lake Geneva, hello to you.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm wondering if these two women could tell me what they think about collision repairs are always approached by insurance companies to sign contracts with them on how to repair consumer vehicles, and consumers aren't allowed to know any of the arrangements that these contracts contain in them because of confidentiality clauses. I was wondering, you know, if there was a way... I was wondering what they thought of that, or if, you know, are these illegal even?
Michelle, are you from, you know, what's the question?
Well, I'm familiar with the concept of insurance companies tying to certain auto repair businesses and setting up relationships for where that they will have vehicles repaired. The way that we approach that, you know, I'm not in a position to give my personal opinion on that or anything that way, but the way we approach it from a consumer protection standpoint is when shopping for your insurance, ask the questions about how the repair will be done should you end up in a collision or auto accident. What's the method for repayment to you or selection of repair shops that you would like to use to have the repairs done? Often there is some agreement or something that insurance companies will give you a dollar value, you choose and go where you want with it, or we'll do it here and then it costs you this with deductible. So there are different options, and you need to ask the questions up front before the incidents happen so you know what to expect when you end up needing to cash in on your insurance.
Yeah,
they need to come forth too with what those little, you know, idiosyncrasies in each contract is, because a lot of consumers are getting aftermarket parts without realizing it and all kinds of stuff going on. So.
Yeah, that's good points. Thank you for calling, Renee. Appreciate it. And what's other callers online? Paul in Green Bay is next. Hi, Paul.
Hi. Good morning. Last spring, I had to go on unemployment for a couple weeks. And when I called the unemployment department in Wisconsin here, workforce development. I was repeatedly questioned on some of my information, and it turned out apparently I had an illegal immigrant that was using my Social Security number to try and obtain unemployment compensation. I went to the local Social Security office to tell them about it, and I was simply told that they didn't have any type of system in place for reporting that. I was just wondering if there is anywhere I can contact somebody to let them know that this was happening.
So this is kind of, so this is kind of an identity theft in a way.
Yeah, it would be an identity theft of the Social Security number and would be considered, you know, a more workers' identity theft because later when it comes time for payout and you get a Social Security report, you would probably see this work that was done under your number. I would suggest that you file a complaint with our office, 1-800-422-7128, and have one of our Office of Privacy Protection specialists speak with you about filing the complaint, and we'll help you communicate with the Social Security Administration offices and see how they want to approach this, because you'll need something on your record indicating that there's been work done under your number that isn't your work.
Is there any way that would ever affect my tax returns because, you know, of the same using the same number?
Could.
It could, yeah. So there could be some other implications there.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to let your local law enforcement agency, whether it's a sheriff or police, and they may ask you to file a complaint as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Paul. Thanks a lot for calling. Talking about the current scams out there, things that you and I need to watch out for, with our two guests, Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Consumer scams on our minds today with Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Ryan. Thanks for listening in, by the way. Paul in Green Bay has a question, so let's go to Paul. Hi, thank you for calling, Paul.
Sure, thanks. Say, if a person wanted to freeze their own credit, would they have to go to all three agencies? Because there's some cost involved, I know.
For a credit freeze means that a potential creditor can't get a copy of your credit report. So that's kind of the highest form of protection you have available under law. You do have to contact each credit reporting agency separately to put a credit freeze on your report.
So that would not enable, or that wouldn't stop somebody from opening up credit in my name?
A credit freeze would stop somebody from opening an account in your name.
So that would be okay. Mm-hmm.
And there's a $10 fee to do that under state law.
For each one.
Mm-hmm.
It's $10 to put it on. There's a cost for lifting it. So make sure you're in the right position where you aren't going to need credit in the next month or two and place it. So someone who's about to buy a home, probably not the best time to put a security freeze on. But if you're pretty stable in your extensions of credit, not going to buy a car or anything in the next month, it could be a better time for you to put it on.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Don in La Crosse. Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering, you mentioned earlier about getting a credit report from each protection agency or reporting agency separately, one from each place every 4 months. Mm-hmm. How do you go about doing that, just contacting one?
This is a federal law that requires each of the three credit reporting agencies to provide a free credit report annually. And they've set up a kind of a one-stop, one central website and phone number so that you can do that. And you can either do it online at annualcreditreport.com, or you can call, and I'll give the number, 877-322-8228.
8228?
Right.
Okay.
And you can't you can't contact each agency separately and ask for your free report. You have to do it through the centralized website or toll-free number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that 877 number?
Right.
Yep.
Okay, so if I call them up and said, can I just get a credit report from one agency, they can do it?
It's an automated system, so you probably won't get somebody. There'll be a series of questions you need to answer, and at one point they ask if you want all of them or just one, and you indicate what your desire is, that you would just want one, and then write it down so in the future you know which other one you need to get, so you aren't asking for the same company each time.
Okay, what are the three companies?
The three companies are Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion.
Okay, hang on.
Equifax, Experian, and
TransUnion.
TransUnion. There we go. Good luck. Thanks a lot for calling. Don, appreciate your call. And Adele in Mazamani, we're on to you now. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. My question is in the same line. When you call these companies, how safe are they? I mean, they're going to ask you what your social security number is. And how do I know that the people taking this information, or they didn't hack the line or they didn't hack the phone line? So how safe is giving them your social security number?
Well, what we can say is they are the three national credit reporting agencies and have some of the toughest, most stringent standards in place for maintaining the data because they're the ones doing it for the nation. You know, there's always that possibility. Sandy talked about how some individual stars were hacked, their information. They're in constant review of their security measures and are held accountable at a national level with the federal authorities in maintaining this data. So it's great that you're being cautious, but they're the ones that hold the information. And if you want it back from them, you're going to have to answer their questions to get your report.
Got you. Larry, is there any way that you can post this, the three names and the phone number on your website?
Yes, absolutely. Judith will do it probably
Thank
in the next
so
couple of minutes. Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Adele, for calling. So we'll have that up on my Facebook page in a matter of a few minutes. And by the way, if you want to join in with a question or comment, we have open lines. We can get you on real fast at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, post a question or a comment there. And we have from the our friends at the UW Extension Learning Store posted a link to a free PDF on avoiding some job-relating scams. It's also available in both English and Spanish. It's up on the Facebook page as well. We put it up on the Facebook page from the UW Learning Store. Thank you. Thank you, folks. And then John in Eau Claire wonders why, with all the concern about keeping Social Security numbers safe, that Medicare has them right on the card when you're supposed to carry that with you.
Yeah, a lot of people have that same concern. My understanding is that there have been various bills in Congress to change this Medicare practice, and the cost to converting to some other identifier system would be just, you know, in the billions of dollars. So that's why Medicare is dragging their feet on it. Our friends at AARP suggest making a copy of your Medicare card and carrying that with you after blacking out the first five digits of your Social Security number. And that should be enough if you're ever in an emergency situation. That should be enough to get you admitted to the hospital or whatever. And then, of course, you can follow up with your real Medicare card as soon as you can.
There we go. Okay, we have lots of callers online. Again, you can join us at 1 800 642-1234. Maybe you found yourself in a situation that felt a little fishy. What did you do? Have you been the victim of a scam? Those are some things we can talk about, certainly. Cynthia in Stevens Point, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering about freezing, I guess, the Social Security numbers or the credit for my kids. I have a four-month-old and a three-year-old, and I didn't know if they were frozen for, you know, at least a good 10 years. Would that make any impact on their credit rating in the future?
Hmm. Michelle, what do you think?
Well, the beauty, I guess, of child information, children's information, is that there should be no credit report that exists for a child. So what, Cynthia, you would want to do is go out and try and get a credit report for each of your children using their numbers. And if it comes back that there is no report, that's great. The information is secure. Keep it that way. Hide those Social Security cards so you don't need them, and check it every so often. It's only when a credit report comes back for a child's number that then we know that there's been identity theft in that situation. The credit reporting agencies don't keep files for children's numbers, so there is nothing to freeze at this point. It's non-existent in their mind. There's been lots of conversations in our state and many other states as to, should they start children's files on Social Security numbers so there's something that can be frozen, but then your number is out there and there's always that potential. So it's a back and forth conversation at this point. The best thing to do is check the number, make sure you get nothing back, and do a regular monitoring of those numbers.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Cynthia. That's a question I don't think we've had since we've been doing the show together. That was a darn good question.
It's really an emerging issue as child identity theft becomes more and more prevalent. People are, the way it is now, you can't really do anything until you know your child has been victimized.
Yeah.
And there are bills being discussed that would require these credit reporting agencies to allow parents to do something proactively to prevent the crime from happening.
Sandra in Appleton, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm calling regarding my mother who just recently lost her wallet. I had her put her Social Security number away, but she'd just gone to the doctor and she had her Medicare card in there. We've called and canceled all of her credit cards, but what do we do in regards to now someone has a Social Security number because that's on the Medicare card? Do we go to the credit agencies and put a freeze on all of them then?
Yes, that really should be your first step.
Okay.
In some cases, the Social Security Administration will actually issue a new Social Security number, and that's extreme. And you can imagine the confusion that can cause,
yeah,
too. But, you know, that may be the only answer. There should be on your mother's Medicare letters, there should be a number to call for Medicare fraud or lost Medicare cards. So that's what I would look for. Track it down that way.
And you don't have any idea what that number might be?
I don't hear. No, sorry.
Well, okay.
If you called, somebody in your office would probably have it.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. Call the 800 number. If nothing else, we could probably help you track something down. So that's 1-800-422-7128. And you'll want to talk to, if the person on the hotline can't help, indicate that there's been this lost Social Security number, and you could talk to someone in our Office of Privacy Protection.
Okay, 1-800-422-7128.
Right. Correct. And while you're at it, you know, ask for some information, and they can send you out a packet of what to do to prevent becoming a victim after you've lost your wallet.
Okay, thank you very much. So the first line of business is just to freeze all those credit cards and contact this number.
Right.
Thank you. I appreciate all your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Gail in Madison, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I am looking for some advice about canceling credit cards for department stores in particular, cards that and stores that I don't frequent or use at all or much. And I have tried in the past to cancel some of these cards, and I've always been convinced to leave them standing so that my credit continues to show long years of good credit. But I'm becoming concerned about this identity theft and use of my possible cards, you know, as long as the accounts are open.
All right.
What would your advice be as to closing most of them or not?
Well, that is a personal choice as to whether or not you keep your cards open or closed. There's many factors. One of them is the identity theft issue and weighing that. You know, if you're not using the card, if you're not getting the discounts or the coupons that some of these cards offer, then what is the purpose of you having that? Because on the other side of that long credit history, there is the issue of your credit score and extensions of credit. So you may want to just get rid of those cards.
And we'll talk some more about that. I think that's well worth talking about with our two guests right after we take a look at the news. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. When you're trying to stretch your budget, it's understandable you might find some deals more resistible than ever. And sometimes maybe you do find a great deal. Other times, maybe not. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along on the Ideas Network. Important to know where to turn to for help when you get caught in a scam or to know how to avoid one in the first place. And Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen from the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection with us today to help you out. They're here until 12:30, and you can join in by calling them at 1-800-642-1234. Email at talk@wpr.org. You can post a question there. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We already have a lot of good consumer information posted up there and some numbers. Click like while you're there, and we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. That's at The Larry Mueller Show. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at consumer scams today with Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Michelle, great to have you with us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Sandy Chalmers with us as well, Administrator of the Division of Trade and Consumer Protection. And Sandy, thanks again for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
We have so many possible scams out there. It's almost unbelievable. You may have a problem or a question. I certainly hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. An email from Chris in Williams Bay was selected to get a deal on a Caribbean cruise for a low, low price with airfare included. I was going to pass on the deal, but they broke it down into payments. I just am wondering if you've heard of anything complaining about being scammed on something like this.
Well, yes, we have. We've heard a lot of questions and concerns and complaints about vacation clubs, travel clubs, that kind of thing. And I can't say anything about this particular deal without knowing more about it. But be very, very cautious when entering into a multi-year contract with a travel club. What we've found is that those travel clubs don't offer you any better deal than you could get yourself on Travelocity or Expedia or one of those online websites. Plus, the annual charge is pretty hefty in most cases. And we had several months ago heard from lots and lots of people who had gotten postcards saying you're eligible for 2 free plane tickets and all you have to do is sign up for our club, and come to find out that those airline tickets are only available during very limited times and they don't take you to anywhere you want to go. So we have had a lot of activity in this area, unfortunately.
Jerry in Menasha, hello, thanks for waiting.
Thank you. Due to the fact that I in the last 6 months have gotten so many political robocalls, I just got in the habit of screening all my calls. I have a landline, but I have an answering machine. So when the phone rings, I just go to the answering machine because I was getting awfully tired of all those robocalls. Well, in the last 6 weeks, I've been getting a very peculiar robocall, and I cannot explain it. A female voice comes on. It's a recording. It says, "Hello, this is a service verification. We will call you back later," and then the recording goes off. I called AT&T because they have my landline, and I talked to somebody there, and I said, "Do you ever use anything like that with your customers?" And they said, "No." So I don't know what that's all about, and I just wondered if your ladies there had heard anything like that before.
Okay. Sandy Chalmers?
Well, when it comes to those robocalls, we've heard about everything imaginable, unfortunately. And this is one that I've gotten at home, too. I've also gotten one recently about advertising my business and making sure that my business name pops up first on Google. And for months and months and months, everybody was getting those calls about lowering your credit card interest rates. So just remember, these recorded business pitches, sales pitches, in almost every case are illegal under federal law and under state law as well. The best thing you can do when you get one of those pre-recorded messages is to just hang up. Don't press 1 or any other number to get off the list or to talk to a live person. And in some cases, you may have to consider blocking the number. And people never want to hear that because it can involve a charge by your telephone carrier. But the other thing that's so important is to report those calls. We cannot do anything about this fraudulent activity unless we know about it. And because so many of these robocalls originate from overseas, we work very closely with the Federal Trade Commission on enforcement and prosecution. But the FTC has made some gains in taking down these international crime rings that are making these robocalls.
Thank you very much for calling, Jerry. Appreciate it. And Tim in Platteville, what's on your mind? Hi.
Hi. It's interesting. You were just talking about the online Yellow Pages ones. I was at a call from one of them this morning, and they always tell you, you get, free listings. You know, they'll push your business to the top of the listings for free. You know, and then they get further into the call, and then they, may or may not tell you that, they start charging you after 1 or 2 or 6 months, and even if you don't give them any credit card information, they can add charges to your phone bill to pay for it. So there's a lot of things you need to be careful with the online Yellow Pages businesses.
Good points. And Michelle, comment?
Yeah, what he's saying is absolutely true. You need to be real careful when you get those phone calls. We've seen lots of variations on scams regarding Yellow Pages, whether it be online Yellow Pages or fake invoice scams, where small businesses or even large businesses are targeted with a fake invoice. It looks to be real. It has yellow highlight on it that bill is due. And when you go to Xerox it, so it goes to the finance versus the purchasing thing, some of the highlights are gone. There might be real small print that this is not a bill or different things, but there are many variations of Yellow Page scams going on. So watch out for those. Don't give out your information. Don't pay bills for services you aren't receiving or didn't order.
Yep.
And file complaints about them.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Yeah, appreciate it very much. Sophia in Racine, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling.
Okay, well, I'm calling because about 13 years ago, I was about 18 years old, and I visited a friend. We walked to the store one day, and I left my daily planner in her home. When we returned, we found out that a few teenage girls had broken into her mom's apartment, and my planner was missing. Well, about 5 to 7 years ago, I was on the Wisconsin Court Record website, and I found that someone I don't know if they were necessarily in Racine, but I know that they were in Wisconsin. And they had changed their first and last name to my name. And I always wondered, was that the person who had my identification? So I'm just wondering what I can do about, you know, going about finding out if that person is indeed the person who has my information, and is that why they changed their name?
Michelle?
Well, first, I think you'll need to call the local authorities and file a police report if you haven't already and have a discussion with them about that. One kind of identity theft is criminal identity theft as far as taking over your identity when you're being arrested and things, and then that's very difficult to reverse and prove. And you'll probably want to file a complaint with the Office of Privacy Protection as well, so they can give you different numbers and guidance as to things you can do. But it can be a very long and lengthy process if it's ever accomplished. You know, calling the police, you'll be able to find out, did a different individual show up? And so is there a significance between you and this other person? And she's not using your social security number and appearing to be you, just someone with your like name. So it'll be something to really sort out. But two places to start: the local authorities, filing that police report, and then calling our office to file a complaint.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. And an email from Gail in Milwaukee: had my credit card frozen 4 years ago after I found out a major card company was accessing my account every month. These inquiries were enough for my credit union not to issue me a card because of too much activity on the account. Would freezing my account also be a reason why I cannot get a higher credit limit on one of the other cards I do have? If I only have two cards, but rarely use the second one. I have a 751 score, but they didn't tell me I don't meet their criteria, but won't tell me what the criteria is. When I asked this question specifically, they couldn't give me an answer. Do credit card companies have to give you the criteria they use when they're asked? Probably not. I don't know. Michelle?
Yeah, I'm not 100% that they have to give you all the criteria either, because I know from talking with different credit reporting agencies, there's many, many algorithms that go into different calculations and figuring out things. They look at all factors, not just credit cards, but all extensions of credit, credit history, utility bills, anything that they get reports on, frequency of payment, frequency of late payment. So all these things go into that algorithm. But what I do understand is the more credit you have available to you, the lower your score can go. And it is up to an individual lending institution if they will, you know, continue to extend your credit. So maybe that's just not the credit lender who's going to give you additional credit because their standard may be higher than another one. If you need that extra extension, maybe when you need to start looking for a different credit card company then.
Mm. And by the way, Judith has posted up on our website the sites for Equifax and Experian and TransUnion. They're up on my Facebook page now if you need to get to them. And Bob in Franklin. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Bob. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. I don't know if this is a scam situation, but I recently got a letter from Associated Bank, where I have a couple of checking accounts.
Yeah.
And they're saying that they're going to start binding arbitration. And if I want to opt out, I have to send them a letter with all my account numbers and so on. Mm. Isn't binding arbitration a scam?
Wow. So is there... Have you had any problems with the bank, or have,
well, I
this had just problem. Came out of nowhere?
Well, I think no, it came out of nowhere because I did have a problem, but it was probably 10 years ago.
Oh, it was 10 years ago, and it's still with the same. Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
The same bank.
Same bank, but 10 years ago. Well, yeah, you wonder if it's actually the bank itself that's contacting you, or if it's some...
Well, the letter came with the statement.
I got
two of them, one with each statement.
You may want to go back, Bob, and contact the bank and ask them. They may have been changing policies or had an overall review or audit done by a federal organization or you know, if it's a state bank, by the Department of Financial Institutions, and maybe needed to change their policies or something. Or maybe their legal department has changed the method of resolutions within and they've chosen to use arbitration as opposed to the court process. So I would ask the bank some questions and find out where this is initiated from.
Yeah, I'd phone them.
Okay.
Yep, sounds good. Thanks a lot, Bob. Good luck. Stella in Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Hi. Excuse me. I wanted to thank you for the advice that you gave a couple calls ago about the scam robocalls and not responding with any numbers.
Yeah.
Pushing any numbers. We were just inundated with them, and I called in several months ago, and so we stopped responding, and we just would hang up. But it seems that even we have a landline. It seems that even picking up the phone to answer the phone and then hanging up immediately lets them know that it's a live number. So what we've resorted to is we have an answering machine, and we screen all of our calls. We let the answering machine take every call. And if we're expecting a call, if we call somebody and they have to call us back, we tell them we're getting a lot of scam robocalls, so we have to screen our calls, just listen to the message, it's a short one, and start talking, and when we hear your voice, we'll pick it up. And the number of these scam robocalls that we've been getting have gone from 8 to 10 a day to maybe one or two a week.
So good.
Screening all the calls with the answering machine, at least for us, seems to be an effective strategy.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, you're correct that picking up the phone will send a signal to some robo-dialing computer somewhere in the world that your phone number is live, which is valuable information to telemarketers. And if you press a number, you're probably going to be routed to a live person who could be anywhere in the world, and that person is probably a lead generator who will ask you some screening questions about how many credit cards you have, how much your monthly credit card payments are. And that information, too, is valuable to telemarketers. So any response to a robocall will probably end up in your receiving more and more and more robocalls.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a bit of a nuisance to friends and business people who call us, but
yeah,
we just inform everybody, and everybody who calls us with any regularity knows. So they just...
Yep.
Listen to the message, and they start talking, and if we're home, we pick it up, and if not, they leave us a message.
There you go. Thank you, Stella.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Appreciate the call. We had an email from Jim in Mequon who said, I'm just finishing my identity theft report for the Federal Trade Commission. My Social Security number was stolen, and they attempted to open accounts, which I was notified of. This is the information I received. Call or email any of the three credit reporting agencies and report the theft. It's free, and they share the information with the other two. They put a fraud alert on your records for 30 days free, and then you pay to continue it. It's suggested that you file a complaint with the FTC, including a police report from your local municipality. And also you should get your free credit report to make certain there's nothing reported wrong on your card. And so those are all, I think, pretty good tips.
Right. They're all exactly right. When you have become a victim of identity theft, they will put that fraud alert on your account for free. Earlier, we were talking about the credit freeze and that there's a fee for that. That's if you're not a victim of identity theft and you're trying to prevent it and do some preventative measures. But once you've become a victim, you get to do those things for free. And then you should always file that police report because you often need that as part of the recovery process. An FTC report, we encourage one with us so we can help you through that process. And getting that credit report allows you to see what's going on with the activity on your account.
It's one of those free services you don't want to qualify for.
Exactly.
There you go. Linda in Wausau, hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just recently had my purse got left behind in a shopping cart, and when we realized it was gone. So I had all my information in it, my checkbook, my health card, my Medicare card, which, of course, has Social Security number on it, and credit cards. And I got some information from my banks and stuff to file for annual credit report. But listening to you today, I started to do it. And one of my problems doing it was they asked for information as, did you open up a certain type of credit card, and they gave the year. Well, I'm not sure. And then what was the credit amount? And then I clicked what I thought it was, and then there was the next one said, did you open one up? And they gave one like 3 years previous. I only have one actual credit union card, if that's what they were asking. But they switched from the beginning from MasterCard to Visa. So I wasn't sure if when they asked it the second time and they put 2006, if that's when I got my first one. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that stuff, and I don't think you always get it. When you get a credit card, you know, they don't say you've been a loyal user since.
Yeah, well, frankly, I'm trying to think. I can't remember when I got a particular card or any of the cards I have. Michelle?
Yeah, at this point, Linda, I would call. And Sandy had given out the number earlier, and she'll give it again. But I would call at this point because it's going to be a lot easier than answering all the security and different questions that there are online.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to get you to answer things that only you would know, but you're stumped, so... The number is 877-322-8228, and that's the annualcreditreport.com toll-free number.
So it's 1-800-322... Oh, I'm sorry.
877.
877. Oh, let me start over.
322-8228.
877-322-8228.
It came up on the computer that some of the information was incorrect, so it suggested I call that number, which I did. And one of the problems I have when I have called a couple of different places for something, they ask for your address. Here in Wisconsin, I live out in the country.
Oh,
my fire number is my street address, and the first part of the street address is a letter. It's for the town that you live in.
Sure. Linda, I think what we're going to have you do is call our 800 number and get some help, because we have certain kinds of connections in very complex cases where we can help link you up. So call 1-800-422-7128 and ask to leave a message with Michelle Reinen. Leave me your phone number and we'll get you hooked up with somebody who can help you get through this process.
Yeah, it sounds a little complicated. So, again, the number 1-8, and this is for anybody else, 1-800-422-7128. That is the number for the Department of Consumer Protection Division of the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Thanks for calling. Sandy, Michelle, thank you so much. Boy, the time flies by. Always lots of... wild and crazy things going on out there, isn't there? Oh, man. Well, you'll come back and be with us again, I assume.
We sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Sandy Chalmers and Michelle Reinen of the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, our guests today. They'll be back. We'll do it again with them. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk joins us tomorrow to talk about your pet's health. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.